Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we do see a lot of green here today, and it's a beautiful, beautiful color. And it's not because we're celebrating St. Patrick's Day. That's the wrong time of year. And as much as you duck fans are great people, it's not about the ducks today. It's rather about the season of Pentecost, which we sometimes call the green season. It's the longest season of the church year, and it comes the Sunday after the day of Pentecost. So what's up with all these colors? Well, we have some wonderful seasons in our church year, and we go through this the church year, and you think of some of the colors, and you think of the color blue during Advent as we look forward to the coming of Christ. Then we have the color white for Christmas. Then we get into Lent and we have the color purple. And then we get into Easter and we have the color white again. And then Pentecost, we have the color red, remembering the coming of the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire. And now we're in the season of green, of Pentecost. And why green? Well, green is a color of growth. And here in Oregon, we know about green because we get so much rain and we thankfully get then a lot of growth. We see a lot of green fields since we're one of the grass seed capital of the world around here. And we have the season of growth. And it's the season of growth as we remember that the gospel continues to be spread throughout the world. So we have the growth of the kingdom in this way, but also we have growth as you and I, we grow in our knowledge of the Lord as we study the scriptures together. So we are now in the season of growth. And we're going to look at one of the passages of Scripture from Matthew this morning, where Jesus says some interesting words from Matthew chapter 9, 37. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, notice behind me in this particular green banner, beautiful, beautiful banner. You'll also see it on my stoles here. You're going to see this banner, and you're going to see on the right side the A and the, it's an Alpha and Omega. It's Jesus is the beginning and the end, then the cross, of course, remembering our Savior Jesus and his death for us. But then you'll see also on the left there, what do we have there? It's like a stalk of wheat. It's a stalk of wheat. Maybe some of you have seen the wheat fields as you've gone through various parts of the Willamette Valley. And as you see the wheat fields grow, you see them go from green and then they start turning golden brown. And you see the heads of the wheat being established there. But then how do you know when the fields are ready? This is what I learned recently. You'll start to see the stalks lean over. And I think part of that has to do, and Dr. Shaver over here can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that has to do with the heads getting heavier with the seed. And how do you know when the seeds are ready? Well, if you're a farmer, you take some of the seed and put it in your mouth, and if you can still chew it, it's not quite ready. But as it starts getting really hard, then you know that your wheat is ready for the harvest. There are signs that it is ready. Now, Jesus is using an analogy here. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We see Jesus' care and compassion here. He cares about the people that he sees around him, and he wants them to hear the message, and they're ready to hear the message. Jesus previously, this is the context of this passage, Jesus previously had been going throughout the region and he had been proclaiming the news of the kingdom of God. It says in Matthew chapter 9, 35, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus was there among people who needed to hear the good news, and he was proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God. Now remember, in the scriptures, we see all kinds of parables where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. And what is this kingdom of God? Is this some kind of reign and rule on earth? No, this is the kingdom of God is that which spreads as the good news of Jesus and what he has done spreads. Jesus talks about good news for a people who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, who are dealing with all kinds of struggles and difficulties. And there Jesus not only speaks the word to those who are in need, but he also then does signs and wonders, and he brings good news through the healing that he gives through the casting out of demons, showing that he is more powerful than Satan. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he sees these people and he has compassion. So he says this to the disciples: the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What is he doing? Jesus is bringing the disciples into his mission. He's bringing the disciples into this mission that he has, the mission to spread the message of the gospel, this good news that all people need to hear. And frankly, I find it kind of interesting that Jesus would include us in his mission. I know myself pretty well, and I have some weaknesses that I'm not really pleased about. And perhaps you can look at yourself and you notice some things that you say, man, I'm not too pleased about myself some days. Jesus could have done, he could have had the kingdom spread in other ways, and yet he chooses to bring us into that, though we are weak in and of ourselves. So Jesus, what he does is he brings the disciples into this mission. He allows them to be part of this mission, to share with this. And so Jesus calls the 12 disciples and gives them authority. It says in Matthew chapter 10, and he called to them his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. That's quite a variety of guys. Now, we were talking about this in Bible study this morning, but we have a whole group of different people coming together for the sake of the mission. We have Peter, who's kind of one of those guys that sometimes acts before he thinks and kind of goes for it. We have a tax collector, one who is not really looked upon highly by the Jews. Then over here, we've got the zealots. And can you imagine in the same bunch of guys, you've got a tax collector over here and a bunch of zealots who would want to probably kill tax collectors? Jesus brought this whole ragtag group of guys together, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, and a variety of others for the sake of the kingdom. And frankly, I find that kind of encouraging because God uses all kinds of people for the sake of his kingdom. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. And guess what? He still wants to use you and me as part of his plans and his purposes. I think that's pretty neat. So Jesus gives these disciples who have been set apart as apostles. Apostles are those that are sent. They are given authority, and he gives them authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. They are given these abilities to proclaim the message, basically carrying forth the mission that Jesus has, and they are to do so in word and deed to those who are downtrodden, those who are in need. And so they are sent out. They are sent out, and they are to not worry about their food. They are to trust in the Lord, as we see in the passage in Matthew chapter 10. They are to find a place of peace. They are to go to different places, and they're going to find a place of peace, and they're going to then spread the gospel for a time in that region. Notice what Jesus said at this point. Jesus said, don't go to Samaria. Only go to the places of Israel. It's kind of interesting that Jesus would do that. And is he leaving out the Gentiles? Is he leaving out the non-Jews? No, he's not. But remember that Israel was considered to be God's chosen people. You have Abraham, and through Abraham we have the promise of the Messiah that was given. And so the message was going first. These disciples were bringing the message first to these people, to the Israelites. And notice, this is kind of interesting, but there are 12 apostles, and there are 12 tribes of Israel. I think it's kind of neat. We have these numbers in the scripture. So we have the 12 apostles going out, and they're spreading the message first to the Jews. But then later on, if you'll remember our reading from last week, Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have, as Romans 1:16 says, Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So that's where we get that. The apostles are going to face challenges. When you're proclaiming truth, not everybody likes to hear the truth. And they're going to run into difficulties and struggles along the way. They're going to run into persecution. But they don't need to be afraid, because they don't go alone, and they're not carrying out their own mission. But rather, they have been called to be part of God's mission, and He's the one who has called them, He is the one who has sent them, and He is the one who is going to equip them. Ultimately, He has given them the gift of the Spirit. They're going to speak words by the Spirit. As it says, Matthew chapter 10, 19 and 20, "When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." I find that a comforting thing, that the Holy Spirit at just the right time will give the words that are needed for the sake of the kingdom. So what about us for today? Jesus was speaking to the apostles, and none of us are apostles, and frankly, there are no more apostles in this day and age. The apostles were those that were there with Jesus throughout his ministry. The apostles were the ones given signs and numbers. We're not apostles, but yet we're called to be part of the mission. So what does this reading have to do with us today? Well, I think part of it is that we get to be part of God's mission. Can it be discouraging sometimes? Yes, it can be. I think sometimes we can become discouraged as we look across the landscape of the United States and the world, and we think it to be a daunting task to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. If you look at the situation, even in our own church body, we're having a difficult time to have pastors to fill all the different congregations. There are not as many seminary students going off to seminary as there once was, and this can be a struggle sometimes. And we might think, man, this is discouraging. What are we going to do about this? So we can be discouraged by the stuff that we see in our world, and we can also be discouraged with ourselves because we know our weaknesses. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can maybe grow complacent or distracted. Complacent or distracted. Sometimes, sadly, churches can become inward-focused, and it can become kind of like a big country club where we all kind of hang out together, and that's wonderful. But sometimes what can happen is the community is maybe neglected. There's that inward focus, and pretty soon it just becomes kind of a country club. And that can happen all over. And I think also sometimes, though, we can be struggling with our own situations. You might be thinking to yourself, man, it's a daunting task to think about the gospel being spread, but I think about my own life and my own struggles. I got enough to handle with all the stuff going on in my life to even think about other people at times. It can happen when we're dealing with struggles, maybe health struggles or financial difficulties, or fill in the blank with any number of challenges. So I think sometimes we can grow discouraged. We can go discouraged with what we see out here, but then we can grow complacent and frustrated. But here is the good news for you and for me. Despite the struggles that we see in this world, and despite your weaknesses and my weaknesses, the message of the gospel continues to be proclaimed. There's a reason why each of you are sitting here in this place today, and it's because the gospel continues to be spread. We heard in our epistle reading today, a fabulous epistle reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to these words again. These are words for you. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. That's the good news for you. And along with that good news of your Savior who has died for you, who has taken every one of your sins away upon the cross, who's risen for you, along with that good news comes the good news that you have then been made part of God's family. It's not just for the children's message. That message is for you also. You have a loving Heavenly Father. Despite what you experienced in your home life growing up, despite whatever kind of earthly father you had, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you more than you can understand, who provides for you your daily bread, who is there for you, who gives you what you need. And you at any time can call upon Him as your Father, knowing that He will hear you, knowing that He is faithful, knowing that He will not flake out on you, knowing that He is your Heavenly Father. And this is a wonderful message that our world needs to hear too. Because there's a lot of broken families in this world. And there's a message of hope for the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And that's one thing that we as the church get to do. We get to pray that God would continue to provide people to spread the message of the gospel. I thank the Lord that you, as a congregation, have been part of that. For the past number of years, we have been supporting seminary students. And these are individuals who need our support. There are men who are being called to be pastors who need that support so that they can be prepared for the ministries. And currently, we are supporting a deaconess student who's hopefully, God willing, going to be in a place where she is able to bring comfort and hope to people, maybe in a hospital setting, maybe on the mission field. And you have been part of that with your support. Even today in the back, we have a box for one of our missionaries in Belize. And there can be struggles and challenges along the way, but I thank the Lord that we've been able to take part. Even though we're not over in Belize, even though we're not over in the deep, dark jungles of wherever or in the cities of Shanghai, we are able to be part of that with our prayers and our financial support. And folks, you know it, but there's a mission field right here in Monmouth, in Independence as well, and Salem, and Portland, and all those different places, and Dallas. So we get to be part of this story, and I look back briefly on that time when you called me to be your pastor. I was talking about that with someone recently. As some of you saw on the screen, Dallas Dupke, Faith Lutheran Church, Monmouth, Oregon. People in the Midwest don't know how to pronounce the names, and I found out it's Monmouth, Oregon. Yeah. But anyway, I feel very privileged to be part of that, and I'm so thankful for your prayers and for your encouragement and the love that you show to me. That is such a blessing. I am incredibly blessed, so thank you. Thank you so much. So we have those that are called to be in ministry in different ways. Some called to be pastors, others evangelists, others ministry in missionary situations. We have campus ministries that are going on, a number of campus ministries here at WU. There are many, many places in which the gospel continues to be spread, and you and I get to be a part of that. Maybe there's a neighbor that you've been thinking about contacting and just getting together for coffee. Maybe there's someone that's been on your heart and on your mind, and you just can't get them out of your head. Perhaps the Lord would have you have a conversation with them. We don't need to freak out because we have the Holy Spirit. Just watch and see how He might guide that conversation with that person that's on your heart or on your mind. Before we close today, I want to tell you about an individual that I met at seminary. His name is Nicholas Salafu. Nicholas Salafu was a man that I met at the seminary, and he was from Ghana. And I didn't really know much about him, and he's a really wonderful, friendly guy, and he spoke English, but there was enough of a language barrier where he wasn't able to communicate fully as he might in Ghana. And so I just thought, oh, he's a nice guy, going to seminary. And then one of my fellow seminary students said, "Do you know who Nicholas is? Do you know who this guy is?" I said, "No." So let me show you something. And he shows me this YouTube video, which had a documentary called Salafu's Harvest. I was intrigued as I watched this documentary about Nicholas. And it told the story of Nicholas, who was born in the village of Ziako. And Ziako in West Africa, in Ghana. He was not born a Christian. His parents were animists. In other words, they worshipped the gods of nature. His family were animists. Later on, his father became a Muslim because after a while, the sacrificing to all these gods of various varieties got kind of taxing and tiring, and so he kind of switched over to a different religion, and then his father was a Muslim. So Nicholas did not grow up knowing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there came a point when he left his village and he went over to a different place for his work, and there he met a man by the name of Reverend Walter Schmidt. Now that name sounds kind of German to me. Reverend Walter Schmidt. But the Lord used this German guy in the middle of Africa to speak the gospel to Nicholas. And Nicholas heard the gospel and rejoiced in hearing the gospel. And he got so excited, he started sharing the message of the gospel. And long story short, there was a church that established in his community. It started out with people that were there at his house, and they were meeting together, and pretty soon they ran out of room there, and pretty soon things got bigger and bigger. And when it came time for a baptism, there were 143 people who were baptized. And the work did not stop there. At this point, I don't even know where Nicholas is at this point. He may still be over there. He came back at some point to go get his doctorate in ministry to help equip others. But he has helped to establish 25 different congregations with over 3,000 members. Little did I know that this guy named Nicholas, I just thought maybe he was another seminarian from another country. Little did I know how the Lord was using Nicholas Salafu to touch many hearts and lives. And I think about this too. I think about Reverend Walter Schmidt. I don't think he realized at times the impact that he may have had in his missionary work. There are times when missionaries can grow very discouraged. But one life touched made a huge, huge difference. And I want to encourage you today. Each of you have connection points with people in your life. You may not know the impact that God will have through you on those individuals. He will use you to His praise and glory according to His plans and purposes. Remember this, it's God's mission. He is the one who calls. He is the one who equips. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we join Jesus on His mission. And let us pray that God would continue to provide laborers for the harvest field, whether that be in the far reaches of Ghana or right here in our community. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.